I'm bringing so little to the show today. I don't see it going.
Oh boy, else, I've got nothing either. Oh jeez. Okay, folks, we're saying this is a good one to skip. Hi there, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
There we go. Off to a good start. Everything A-okay so far.
Everything's perfect, and I was thinking that you probably want to apologize after last week's show.
I really do. Okay, moving on. What am I apologizing for? Sorry.
Some of the things you said, I thought.
Yeah, but I'm Canadian, so I apologize on such a regular basis that I don't even think people would notice if I was apologizing. But you know what I should do off the top, since, you know, this is what sensible podcasts do, is they plug things.
Oh, they stop the show in the middle of the show.
It's not the middle of the show at all.
The ball gets rolling.
Is the show only 3 minutes long? Because this would be the middle of the show.
The ball gets rolling.
Okay, the ball's
and
rolling.
And we just stop it now.
The ball has not started rolling.
The ball was moving.
We're in the bowling alley. We've just got our shoes on.
I don't think you're keeping your eyes on the ball.
The guy put Lysol in our shoes and gave us our shoes.
Sure.
The balls have not started rolling at all.
I think the ball was...
Well, though we are fighting already. Welcome. This is episode 230. Please mark that in your notebooks. Yes. And want to mention, if you want to come and see this kind of the Bickersons, which we are live, with another couple of people with us looking awkwardly going, when will they stop fighting? Then you can come to VanCaf.
Yes.
That is the Vancouver Comics Arts Festival, and we're going to be there. We're going to be there for the whole festival, but we're going to be doing a live podcast, live Sneaky Dragon podcast, on May 21st. That's right, the Equinox.
Mm.
Everything changes, man. Everything changes.
Is that Sunday?
It is Saturday. Saturday, May 21st. Longest day of the year?
Mm.
Is it? I don't know. Is that right?
It'll feel like it. We'll be.
Am I wrong?
What? Well,
yeah. When no summer start is the equinox? When is the equinox?
It wouldn't be June.
Is it June? I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm completely wrong. Look, make your own equinoxes.
God damn it, it is, happened. Isn't it?
It's the 21st.
Yeah.
What the shit am I thinking? June. Equinox is May. There's no June. Equinox. God damn it! It's not the longest anything.
He meant equator.
This is the longest opening.
It's May 21st, the equator. Well, that was a weird sound.
That was right. That was the sound of a little metal piece rolling across the table. That couldn't have sounded more like a fart. Anyway,
a metal fart.
I know you don't want to come see our show now, but if you change your mind, Saturday, May 21st, we're at 5 p.m. We're going all the way to 5:45, and we've got a couple of special guests. First of all, a fella who is really, he's just across the hall from Hello Kitty Studios.
Yep.
We should have had him on a long time ago. He's a lovely man. I've worked with him many times. James Lloyd, cartoonist supreme. Amazing fella.
Amazing cartoonist.
So he'll be there. And you go, that's enough. No, stop it. Not enough. We've also got Lucy Bellwood, who is also an amazing cartoonist. Does a lot of comics lately about tall ships.
Mm.
And she's got a book called Baggy Wrinkles.
Baggy Wrinkles.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Very, very good stuff. We'll tell you more about that as things progress. But please check her out online and come see us live on May 21st. And remember, it's only a month before the equinox.
We'll be the anniversary of the equinox.
I'll tell you, Dave. Do you know why I'm steamed right now? I'm gonna let you know.
Please do.
Well, I'm gonna tell you. So here's what's going on. I just got like a message from we've been trying to make the house kind of nice.
Okay,
that's what we've been trying to do.
Sure.
One of the things we've done is because the front yard was all torn up by crows looking for grubs, so we took it all down to dirt level. We planted a bunch of seeds.
Yeah.
Growing some grass.
Yeah.
Grass is growing.
Good.
Grass is like about a week's worth of growth, but boy howdy, it's been growing nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the landlord. Sends over the gardeners or the lawn mowing teams. Well, they mow the backyard, which it needs a good mowing. And then they decide, why don't we mow the front yard and take care of this couple of seconds worth of growth, which has now taken out all the grass that planted. So nice work, geniuses. And so we're back where we started. Yeah, well, that dirt pile needs a big mowing.
Yeah.
That's what we got to do. Idiots. And if they're fans of the show, idiots. That's what I say to him. They're still idiots.
We lost fans.
Ah, so it's just a bunch of work. And then, mow. What would you even think? What do you think? There's like an inch of grass. Mm. Mow. No, no mow. Not mow at all. Mow the stuff in the back that's long. That's
no
long.
Mow mow.
That's right.
That's what we say.
I say it's the opposite of the Three Stooges. No mow, because Mo stuck around through the whole mess.
He was there the whole time.
The whole well, you know what?
So was Larry.
Yeah. You know what? Mo was not there from the very beginning when they were like a live act. He joined in a little bit later on. Yes.
Is that true?
That is true. I saw him on, I think it was like the Mike Douglas show.
Okay.
Talking about the history of the Stooges. And okay. Yes.
And he stayed awake.
And I think Shemp was already part of it at the time.
Shemp was an early member.
Yeah.
And there was a person, and I can't remember his name now. I'm trying to madly think of his name. But there was a guy who, it was so-and-so and the Three
That's
Stooges.
That's correct. Yes.
And I can't remember his name. And they split the act.
Right.
And he sued them. Actually took them to court.
Now, the fella you're talking about, he was the slappy guy. He was the guy who would slap them all.
Mm.
And then when they split from him, Mo became the slappy guy. And went, I want to be the guy who does the slapping. Because it wasn't stage slaps back then.
Yeah.
It was solid.
100%.
100% smack in the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they went blind every show
amazing.
From having their eyes poked out.
Well, you didn't want to be in a play where someone got shot.
No, because it was all realistic.
It was all
That's right.
It was
that was the problem when they used to do Hamlet back in the old days, is they'd have to get
effects.
A new cast every night.
But they'll have to get a ghost. They have to hire a ghost to come
Well, no,
on
it was easy.
The
ghost was easy. You just use a ghost from the previous night because there was a whole bunch of dead
true.
People.
That's true.
It's a haunted as fuck theater. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, unlimited number of ghosts.
Absolutely.
Hanging around.
Yeah. No, it was a banner time for ghost actors.
Yes. Well, no, in fact.
Did any other, I was trying to think, any other Shakespeare have ghosts? But yes, the Scottish play.
Macbeth, yes.
That's right.
It's full of ghosts. Chock full of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of other plays that had, Casper, his famous play.
Yeah.
Julius Casper. Yeah.
And who ended up killing him? Was it Richie?
Hot stuff.
Hot stuff? Oh no,
A2,
his best friend.
A2 hot stuff.
Oh
he
no.
He said as he, yes. Beware the Ides of Harvey. Was the it's a famous play. I
Absolutely.
Don't know. What, you seem a little nonplussed, but it was, it's quite well known.
Very good.
You looked sideways like you went nonplussed. Did you use that right?
No, I was trying to, I was thinking of different math jokes to use, and then I went like, you know what? We've done enough.
Plus fours.
We've put our listeners through enough of this nonsense, like right off the top. I'd rather not make them go through a whole variety of, you know, math-related puns.
I'm bringing so little to the show today. I don't see it going.
Oh boy, I've got nothing either. Oh geez. Okay, folks, we're saying this is a good one to skip.
This is stopping now.
Yeah,
because we've already plugged the live thing.
Right.
So you can just stop now.
Yeah. You know what I think is making me feel a little logy, aside from having my lawn ruined, or completely destroyed, is I'm just worried about this equinox coming up. It just feels like it comes earlier every year.
Every year, it just seems to. Yeah.
Yeah.
This year May. Next year. It may not.
Hey, everybody. How are y'all doing? It's not easy doing these podcasts. You might think like, oh, all you got to do is you got to sit down, you got to talk for about an hour and a bit. You think like, ah, that's an easy thing. I could do one of those. Try it.
Sure.
That's what I say. You try it. You do 230 of these fuckers, and then you come up to me and go, oh, it's easy peasy to keep yapping after all that time. All the stories are done. I've got no more life to present to you people.
Is that right?
Good day, sir.
You have nothing left? Do you have no more?
I probably do. Probably all right.
Well, you know, I think it's this time that we've reached 230. I mean, maybe I'm 20 shows early, but it's obviously time to start recycling things.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can like just sort of bring out stuff that we talked about before.
Right.
Classics from the past.
Classics.
People maybe not have heard the time I got fired and called a chicken shit.
Nope.
That was a popular story.
Nope.
Well in the past. Time to roll it out in 20 shows.
And some people might be saying, why don't you do the cheap dentist joke?
Mm.
You know, because this is the time you go to the dentist. 2:30. So there you go. But why don't you do that? And you go, because we're not going to do that because we respect you as an audience. We're not going to do that. Okay, when did people call it? All right, what was your worst firing? Yeah, was that your worst firing?
Oh, for sure.
About?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that was bad. And I've already related my stories. I'm an open book, so I've already...
Yeah.
Because that one was that was more me quitting. It wasn't really a firing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I quit.
Now, what was this job that you're talking about?
This was when I was a telephone marketer.
Okay.
Selling phony tickets. I'm sure they were real tickets, but to a phony circus.
Yeah.
Clearly, there was no circus. A fireman circus is what we were told to tell
fireman
people.
Circus.
A fireman circus, yes.
Okay, so they would set various circus animals on fire, and then the firemen would come out.
Put them out. You saw Dumbo.
Right. Well, actually, you know what? Here's the thing. Like, about circuses, circuses seem to mock firefighters with their clowns. That seems to be a pretty standard thing, is they will, the clowns will come out dressed as firefighters, our bravest people, and yet these clowns mock them, and then they throw a bucket of confetti at the audience.
Are they
Who needs that?
Are they braver than astronauts? That's my question.
Well, how much fire is in space? None. Yeah, so if you're scared of fire, space is where you go, you coward. Also, if you don't like loud noises, I hear it's very quiet
it's
up
very
there.
Quiet.
Yeah.
In space, you can't hear anyone scream.
No, whereas a firefighter has to listen to the sirens, people screaming, fires around.
Shrieking in agony.
And here's the thing, if astronauts are so great, why are there no sexy astronaut calendars?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There are.
Standing there next to their air tanks, just waving them around,
it's just them,
sexy,
it's them in their,
all in front of their shuttles.
I just like the idea of them being sexy, but they're all wearing their spacesuit.
Yeah.
So they just
and their diaper.
And the space diaper.
And the space diaper.
Yeah.
You know, sexy space diaper, and they're there. And they've lost some bone mass because they've been up in zero gravity for a while, and their bodies don't look right, and they're doing the poses. I guess they should take the poses before they go into space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of my jobs, I quit. Like, I didn't, or I shouldn't say that. I think I haven't really had that many jobs, so. But overall, it seems that you have evened out that either I got, I don't know, I can't think of it. It seems like I've quit more often than I've, maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, most of my times that I've left a job were under good circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, like when I left my company that I was with for 10 years, I mean, they sold the company.
Right.
And I could kind of see it coming, so I wasn't like a big shock to me.
Yep.
Getting let go from Southwest, the binding company. Gee, have I said their name before? Fuck them. That was kind of more like a slap in the face. That was a big slap in the face. Like, it wasn't like a happy ending to a short relationship. It was more like...
I'm sorry you saw a look of horror on my face for a second. There was a bird that was coming right through the the window and just pulled up at the very last second. Wow. It really looked like it was going to do a header.
I could see the shadow of it in your
face. Yeah, yeah. It was about to smack into the window. It's absolutely fine. Okay. It looked like we do when we start to do the show.
that look of
I'm about to hit the glass, but I'm still going to go for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And sorry, as the old Jerry Seinfeld bit goes, why isn't it trying to get out of the way of the other bird? Anyway, continue.
What other bird?
Well, when a bird like flies through reflective surface, it's seeing a reflection.
It may not be.
It should see another bird, right?
It may not.
Okay, well, you talk to Jerry Seinfeld in the 1970s and tell him his bit doesn't work.
I'm going to go back in time. 1970s, that long ago?
Yeah, he was doing stand-up in the 70s, absolutely. Jerry Seinfeld, I believe so.
I think of him as like 80s.
Okay.
Interesting.
You can do whatever you want.
You could also
think of him as 90s. He's very popular in the 90s as well.
I never heard of him.
You never heard of him in the 90s?
No.
But you thought he was popular in the 80s?
Yeah.
And then he just vanished in the
90s? Like, yeah, his career took like a major hit and he just disappeared.
Okay.
During the 90s.
Sure.
Like, what did he do?
Aside from the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So anyway,
Are you confusing him with David Brenner? Because actually, you sound like you're doing the David Brenner story, and the two of them do sound quite a bit alike.
No, I was just being a jerk.
I would talk about David Brenner for days. Okay, continue.
You would talk about David Brenner for days? Why?
Because he's just fascinating to me. But please tell your story first, and then we can talk about
David
Brenner.
No, it's boring. Because I've already told this myself, like, binding story.
David Brenner.
Yeah.
Now, why I find that guy fascinating is because he was...
I should just finish that story.
Oh, boy. Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's because I left it hanging there. Like a hanging Chad. I was just going to say, it was a slap in the face, just the way I was let go.
I wonder if anyone named Chad has ever committed suicide by hanging, and everyone just had to avoid the joke.
Ouch.
Okay, go ahead.
All our Chads. We lost all the guard, all the lawn people, all the people who take care of lawns. They're not listening to the show anymore.
That's right.
Now, all the Chads have left the show. We are a dwindling interest here.
Right.
Anyway, so when I was fired from Southwest, it was just done in such a psychotic, weird way. You know, it wasn't like, it was just like so odd, you know, like it was obvious something was going on. No one told me anything. Then I got two different stories from two different people, each telling me that the other wasn't going to tell me that I was going to be let go. And then when the weird one, you know, we're talking later and he's like, telling me about talking to the boss, and like the boss saying, well, you know, he's saying, you know, what are we going to do with Dave? Are we going to keep him? Or are we going to let him go? This is after this guy has pretended to be my friend. Are we going to keep him? Or are we going to let him go? Oh, we're going to fire him. You know, he's telling me this to my face.
Yeah.
As if I don't know. Maybe thought he forgot who I was.
He's a sociopath. Go ahead.
You know,
something's missing in that guy.
Yes.
That
that's
saying,
for sure.
Yeah. There's, yeah.
Something's missing in that guy. Not just a brain, but something else.
Yeah.
But he...
A lot of keys aren't on that piano. He's got like about 72 key piano.
That's true. And so he, we're going to fire Dave. Going to let him work here for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Then we're going to... I'm making you nervous, aren't I? Because I'm near
making,
my...
You're making me nervous just because you're doing your Dave big hand gestures. I do a lot of hand gestures.
We're going
to... Next to the new expensive piece of recording equipment. Go ahead.
I'll start pounding my fist near it. Is that better? To make you feel more... Absolutely. And I couldn't believe he fired me.
The right honorable speaker...
We'll fire Dave. He's going to work here for 2 more weeks. Then we'll let him go.
Sure.
Question from the boss. What if he doesn't do any work? Answer. If he's fucking the dog for 2 weeks, I'll fire him. Why would you tell me that? Like, what possible? Do you not know me? Do you not know that I am not a person who goes around and has sex with dogs during working hours?
Right.
I save that for my spare time.
That's right. You're not into rough trade.
During working hours. So that was like such a fuck you to me from
absolutely.
Them. You know, it's just so weird.
Not from them, but from that guy. Like it maybe.
Well,
maybe
it felt like it kind of came from the whole. When I first came there, I was like, oh, this is a nice place to work. And then pretty soon it just became like this weird sour thing and I just fuck them. So yeah, it's better. I'm better off where I am. So Some things are better.
I like hearing from our, one of my favorite things is when we, do a thing like we ask, hey, what's the way you guys talk about things in your country and they sell you slang and whatnot. Here's what I'd like to know this week. This is our action thing for our listeners. Audience participation, action point, whatever it says. Whenever I go onto Facebook, it always says, do you want to do a call to action to your fans? Like, no, that sounds terrible. But what I would like to do is let us know the worst experience you had, maybe getting fired, or maybe a time that you quit and you quit big. or the expression we like using, because there's a fella I know, I shouldn't say his name, but when he quits a thing, he quits hard. Mm. He quits so that there's no going back.
Really?
Not impolite, but as in like, nope, there's no way we're going back. Quit hard to the point where my wife has like a needlepoint quit hard things for like him, and it's very very nice, very classy.
Sounds classy.
I think my worst most of the things though. Whenever I got fired though, it was always like such a great thing that I got fired. Mm-hmm. In retrospect, and I go like, yeah, but that guy was trying to like start a cult in the comic book store, so it was good that I got fired. The cult leader fired me. I mean, there was no way that was going to end well at all. This was a place called the Comic Box in Surrey that I worked. Yes.
I remember that place.
By the way. Remarkable amount of jobs I've had where the person next to me stole a lot.
Mm.
And I got some heat from that every goddamn time. That's that job.
Yeah.
Granville Island Toy Company.
Mm-hmm.
24 Video.
When you're
much, much more.
When you're a diamond thief.
Oh, well, are you saying because... Wait, no, that would make sense from the comic book store because Diamond is the only distributor. Is that where you're going with that?
No.
Okay. And it's not bad enough that they're doing the steely steal.
Yeah.
But then I'm usually ending up at the end of the day having to like, add up what we made and whatnot, and there's some missing, and now... And who gets the heat on that? Me! Because I'm not making things add up. Of course I'm not making things add up. I've got a fucking, the Pink Panther is next to me stealing shit because he's a diamond thief. Is that where we're going? Pink Panther, diamond thief? I tried to think of a diamond thief and that was the only one that I could come up with.
I just like the
idea. Pink Panther was the diamond. The Pink Panther wasn't the thief. I'm sorry. David Niven was the thief. Spoilers.
The Pink Panther was a diamond, yes. What I was going for was the amusing idea that you were complaining that the person was that you worked with was a thief and you were both the diamond thieves.
But we were working in a retail outlet, so in no way mattered.
That's not what I meant by that. But anyway, please be so literal-minded.
Am I working in a video store that's
you said you
next
had many
to
jobs.
A jewelry store?
You said
store.
You had many jobs.
Yes, I many have jobs. Many jobs. Yeah.
One of those jobs was as a diamond thief.
Okay.
And the guy you worked with...
I'm with you.
Stole.
Yeah. Our hearts. All right. So, David Brenner. By the way, everyone who worked with me and stole, fuck you. Because you stole
another listener.
Because you stole too much.
Yeah.
First of all, you're greedy and you're consistent.
Yeah.
And I know in most cases, like you really stole a lot when I first started to work there.
Yeah.
So it looked like the new guy came in and started like being all sticky fingers.
That was
which
the plan.
Makes no sense, you dumb. That's not when you steal. You steal later. And then it looks like, oh, the new guy's getting confident. Now he's stealing. When you steal off the top, you jackhole. Stop stealing, is what I'm saying. Anyway.
I liked it, Dum Dum. That was a good.
Oh, made me so mad, those people all thievy. I needed money too, but I wasn't stealing, you jerks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, David Brenner. Now, yes. Here's why. Okay. As someone who's done stand-up, I like looking at the history of stand-up. I find mm-hmm. it kind of fascinating. But modern stand-up, the kind that we're talking about, where people talk about their experiences or just talk about minutia.
Did you ever notice?
Okay. You ever notice? Right. Mm-hmm. That kind of – we think about like Jerry Seinfeld kind of as that kind of, you know, what's yeah. the deal with this? And what's the deal with this?
But who was his forebearer?
Barely his forebearer was David Brenner. Mm-hmm. They have very similar styles.
Who I loved a lot when I was a kid. When he was on like Dinosaur or Mike Douglas Show. Or the Merv Griffin Show.
Yeah, he was.
I've run into shows.
He sort of was one of the starters of this type of comedy.
Yeah.
That became the type of comedy, and he famously, you know, would got rich and would wear like these big fur coats. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like at the same time you had like Muhammad Ali wearing big fur coats,
sure.
And it was kind of the thing to do to be like glamorous, and like guys would wear a lot of jewelry and walk around like they're big shots. And like, okay, but then someone like a Seinfeld would not do that. Mm-hmm. He came in just after that nonsense. But then everyone loved David Brenner. He hosted The Tonight Show constantly.
Okay. Sure.
You know, and then nothing. Yeah. Then just went away. And then nothing. He kept doing it.
Or did he keep doing it?
He kept doing it. Yeah. He kept doing stand-up. But no one liked it. But it was very similar to – it wasn't like that style went away. Mm. It was just like we went, yeah, that's enough of David Brenner. We're good. We're done. Fuck, the birds are just dive bombing right now. Anyway, yeah, and so I always found that kind of fascinating. And whenever he went on a talk show after that, you know, they go, oh, here's David Brenner. He'd come on. He'd be okay.
Yeah.
But you just go, it's not quite connecting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite there. And he'd talk about kind of the good old, and you'd see that he was always going, he would always be talking about like, I'm going to sue this one person or sue someone or someone screwed him over.
Oh, you could see why
he was... would talk about like a lawsuit he was involved in. Mm-hmm. You're like, you don't talk about that on the talk show.
No.
You just went, what the hell happened with David Brenner? I would love to like...
Lost his sense of humor.
Maybe, yeah. But it's
like he just got so big and too much for him.
Yeah.
That he just... And his personality type, obviously...
Maybe your perspective like shifts to where you're complaining about, you know...
My fur coat.
Your fur
coat. I had to take my fur coat to the cleaners. Did you ever notice when you take your fur coat to the cleaners... That you get taken to the cleaners? Like,
Unfortunately, it was a taxidermist. I got it stuffed and mounted.
But I mean, when your problems are no longer the everyday problem. Like, a lot of his bits were about his childhood, as I remembered about. I think he grew up in, like, Jersey or Coney Island, some place like that, right? Where it was, like...
It's a bit rough.
A little bit, you know, and he developed a sense of humor in order to survive. But maybe he wasn't really a funny person. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a person full of joy.
Maybe, but he had a lot of golden years of it.
But when it started to go a bit lean for him, he didn't have the personality type that could roll with that. You know, mm-hmm. he just became bitter. And, you know, I know people who cannot forget or forgive and carry grudges around with them like they're Marley's locks and chains. And that's a reference to Christmas Carol, everyone.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, why are you getting on Bob Marley?
Yeah, it was a reference to Bob Marley.
And his dreadlocks.
Famous reggae singer.
I mean, they must have been heavy, but I don't see why you're bringing it up in that way. It seems a little weird.
Yeah, it seems a little mean. I'm sorry. It was.
I didn't know he wore a lot of chains as well, but okay.
Seems referring like, to...
Are you confusing Bob Marley with Mr. T?
I am not confusing... what? I was getting
mixed. Because he wears a lot of chains.
I had a... No. Now you've got me all mixed up.
Okay, please. People carry grudges.
Yeah, just they are always, you know, and you'll talk to them and they'll be like, you know, you'll be talking, it'll be like a normal conversation. And suddenly they'll bring up the fact that, my landlord 10 years ago totally fucked me over.
Yeah.
That fucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking fuck that guy fucking over. And they get like weirdly mad about it, right? And you're like, oh boy, this is like, you know, let it go. There's a song and it has a moral and it makes sense, everybody. That you just gotta let some things go. Like, you just can't carry around those kind of feelings. Because they're not hurting that other person.
Are you thinking of the song by Luba? What song are you thinking of Let It Go?
I'm thinking of Bob Marley. Hang a Fire. Let It Go, Man. You know that song, right?
I don't know. Let me get your dreadlocks. And we'll
put it
on. Here's some chains, too. Put these on.
I am really not a reggae fan. But there's some songs, but not very many. Like, this friend, I'm not going to say any names, but this friend, he's mad at Sheila Copps for bringing in a levy against CDs.
Okay.
That's outrageously, it's taxable.
Right.
So it's not just a tax.
Yeah.
It's a levy that can be taxed.
Okay.
Do you know when that was brought in?
I know there was a time back where someone took a Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry.
Yes.
Is this about then?
Not about that. About that. No, this is about 20 years ago. This is how long. This is how long the grudge is.
Yeah.
He still talks about it to this day.
Yeah.
He will bring it up randomly.
Yeah.
Along with his old boss from 25 years ago, a landlord from around that time period. You know, like, why are you still like carrying all this baggage with you? You know, like angry baggage.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need that shit.
It was never resolved, and it'll never will be resolved. Just in general, I think like it's something I find with like people I know as well. There's certain folks, like say you go to a high school reunion. I don't really.
Yeah.
But you go to a high school reunion and you talk to these people and you know, like about 3 minutes in, you know the story they're going to tell. Because they've got three stories they tell. Three stories of something that happened.
Okay.
And it's usually it's interesting.
Like this show.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll get to that in a second. But like, yeah, they got about three stories they tell, and it's usually something that screwed them over.
Yeah.
And
that's
the reason why they are where they are right now.
But it's true.
Oh, it's completely true.
Yeah.
It's completely.
But not for the reason they think.
There we go. That's the other thing. Yeah. You know, and maybe they'll tell a braggy story too. Maybe there's a braggy story that's like it's buried in something else. But they've got the three stories. And you just go, oh boy. And something I'm really aware of just like, okay, what are my three stories? All right, I got to change the stories up.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to bring that story up because someone will ask something. Yeah. Go, why don't you do this anymore? Or why have you do this? Or why don't you that? And I was like, okay, well, I've got to bring this up because it's the only way to fucking explain why I don't wear hats anymore. It's because of this. And okay, there you go. That's why.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I know you've got, I don't say issues, but I know there's times on this show where you go like, oh, we've told that story before. But to be fair, we have done 230 episodes. And most of those episodes, well, all of those episodes are longer than an hour.
Yeah.
Something's going to repeat. And no one's listened to all of them. So it's okay. And I've listened to other podcasts too. Like you listen to a Marc Maron podcast.
Yeah.
And he'll bring up something about like meeting with Lorne Michaels. And the guest will go, oh, what happened? And he's like, people have heard this already. Yeah, but what happened? And I was like, oh, okay. And he'll tell the story again. But you always like hear the story from a bit of a different perspective. So it's kind of interesting sometimes hearing someone tell the same story three or four times. And you go like, oh, now I really understand what it is because you hear the parts that stay the same and the parts that get embellished and, you know, and this one. And then I told him, well, you didn't then told him in the other ones, but now you blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But some people I know just have their story locked and loaded and it's just, oh, you got to move on from the three stories. You're absolutely right.
Well, it was a while ago and I talked about it on the show, I believe, helping a lady move. And she's not a well-off person.
I thought you were going to say not a lady.
She is a lady.
Is she your wife?
No.
Okay.
Twice, three times. This is a woman that she needed a hand. She at the time she went to church, she doesn't go there anymore. But at the time she's going to church and she asked for some help. So me and another.
Does she just go from church to church trying to get help moving?
Maybe so, yeah. Me and another parishioner.
L'chaim!
We said. said namaste. Said we could, asked if we could give her a hand moving a couple of boxes.
Right.
Out of one house into another.
Sure.
And really, it was just from one house next door to the house next door. So we got there. It wasn't one or two boxes. It was about 30. I'm probably embellishing the story now. Go back in time and see how many actual boxes those people. Maybe 20 boxes. This is quite a few boxes.
Yeah.
They're all up a really steep staircase, a narrow staircase. And she was in a dispute with the landlord. So he had locked off the rest of the house to her. So she couldn't go into certain they were like padlocked. So you're like, wow, she's a bit of a dispute. But when she started talking, I could recognize right away that's those kind of complaints, those kind of grudges, you know, these sort of nasty fights that you get into that I'm going to sue. I'm going to sue my landlord or my ex-landlord. I'm suing him, taking him to court. Every person she mentioned to us, she was going to sue them.
Yeah.
She was taking them to court.
Yeah.
And he started realizing, why are you in the situation you're in? Why is your life so shitty? Because your life was shitty. You just see. When you're piling your belongings, taking all your belongings out of one house and piling them in the carport of the house next door.
Yeah.
That your life is pretty shitty. And why is it? Because you carry around all these grudges. You just can't get escape from yourself and just move on with your life. You're stuck in this idea that you're going to, you know, you're going to sue someone. I'm going to fix this problem. They'll be sorry. And then everything will be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't work that way though. Like they don't give a shit. You can do whatever you want. I mean, maybe if you took them to court, if you could take them to court and if you won, they might owe you some money, but that's not going to fix anything. Because you have a bunch of other grudges you're carrying around. Now you're mad at your lawyer and the judge and the other people that are involved in the case. Those people are all on your shit list.
When you do have to move beyond. I think that's the reason terrible shows like Judge Judy are so popular, because it plays into the fantasy that you will go in front of somebody, mm-hmm. and this person who you believe screwed you over, a person will scold them harshly and go, you're full of shit, and you're in the wrong, and this person's in the right.
Yeah.
Give them the money.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, shows like Judge Judy are fake. But, you know, the people who have to pay never, they don't pay. The show pays. That's the gimmick. Fake. So there's no lose for anyone going. It's like, meh, well, I'm getting a big scolding, but meh.
Do you know who I saw in Judge Judy one time? Johnny Rotten.
That's right. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. Suing his drummer, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, if anyone knows drummers, of course you want to sue them. But here's the thing. If you have a shit list, like if you say to people, or you say about people, oh, they're on my shit list, throw that away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a shit list. This is worthless, because that's why it's called a shit list. It's just shit. So get rid of it. You don't need that. It's just a way of making your life more difficult for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no reason for that.
Here's the only problem I have with that. Now say like, okay. So say I leave the cult guy, he fires me.
Okay.
I'm going to use that as an example. This did not happen, but I'm trying to think of a way of putting this. So I leave him. Now, I could just walk away and just go, forget all this. I'm done.
Yeah.
Write it off. But the guy's still trying to recruit people into a cult.
But that's different.
I understand. But like say he's fucking over the other employees or something. He's hurting other people, and I'm aware that he is hurting other people.
Yeah.
You know, so should I then? That's where my problem is. I can take, if someone fucks me over, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. That's cool. But if,
shouldn't be cool, but you just have to kind of.
No, because I can get beyond that. Yeah. My association with that, there's nothing that I could do with him for him to make me whole. Like, if he paid me some money.
There's no emotional.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, there's no emotional element to it.
Yeah, I'm out of it, and I'm going to heal from this, and there's no big whoop.
Sure.
But if he is still doing the same thing to other people,
then
I don't know what my responsibility is to that. That's a confusion I actually have with a lot of things. Should I keep telling people about this, or should I just let that shit go? Because it's not my problem that he's still hurting people, or do I have a responsibility to
There are things that you can do. I mean, you could report him to the police, or you could report him to the Better Business Bureau. Like, there's some sort of body that can take care of it. Like, you don't have to become involved in it. Mm-hmm. You can do your duty, and now you have done what you need to do.
How about this? I'm going to give you an actual real example then.
Like, I don't think you need to go and burn his store down.
No.
You know?
No, I'm not going to burn his store down, because then he'd collect the insurance. probably actually that would work for him. And boy, a comic store would just burn so beautifully, wouldn't it?
Maybe. Gorgeous. Or it's so thickly packed.
Oh, and there's a lot of the Mylar. Oh boy, I wonder. Yeah, and there's some drinks for sale too. They would probably like pop open.
Like sometimes if there's like a library fire, not everything burns, because if the books are like all squished together, like the fire can't get into the paper.
Now, when I'm saying that he was a
that's my hope for my library at home.
Oh, I'm trying to think like how to put this in the right way. All right. Something like, you know, when I'm saying he was a cult guy, what he was doing was he would ask when, a young person was there with, say, their mother or someone. When they were looking at comics, he would say for me to talk them up and go like, how you doing? How things going? Find out something about their life and then just go, you know, if you're having problems with that, there's a guy next door who's really good at, you know, sorting, you know, getting your affairs in order. You know, you having debt problems right now? Oh, man, you know, I used to have debt problems, and really next door, there's a guy who's going to do it. And there's nothing illegal about what he was doing. It's just that bullshit. It's that, you know, nothing wrong with Scientology, folks. There's some stuff wrong with it. But like, it's one of those where you take the personality test and whatever it is.
Okay.
They've got a cure.
Yeah.
It's that shit.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's not really reporting him to the police because it's not illegal.
Yeah.
But he's doing a shitty thing and he's full of shit.
Yeah.
And back in those days, of course, there was no internet. There was no that. Do I then, and again, this is a problem I legitimately have, do I have any responsibility to you know, keep warning people off that, or do I just walk away and life goes on when I know that he's pulling this shit?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I'll give you the example that's in real life. Fuck it. I'm just going to say it. So I was part of a company, and the company offers workshops in the thing that we do. And they kind of lead people on and go, here's how you get into this company that we're in. And everyone wants to get in this company because it's a very popular company. And they're like, you take this workshop, and then you take this other workshop. And when you've completed a couple of $1,000s worth of workshops, you get to do free shows for the company. And when you've completed those, when you've done some free shows for the company, you might join the company, and then you're part of the company. And they say it's like that. And they've done this for many years. And these workshops, they've called them many different things, and they've pushed them harder or whatever. And what happens is they end up with all a bunch of people who are amateurs, and then they will get rid of them all. Say, we're changing the policy. We're starting a new workshop. We had level A, B, and C, and D. Okay, well, we're getting rid of those. Now we're having level 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you want to do it, you got to do it again from the start. So, and I feel like it's a bit of a scam.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how... This is my fucking problem. I just see these people who are doing the thing that I love, and I've left this company for many reasons, but one of them is that I don't care that they fuck me over, but I see them consistently fucking over new people who I don't think have a couple of grand to fucking spend on this kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And but you're very vulnerable when you're starting off. You want to be part of this, and you're told this is the one path to do it. So. You know, one, I was trying to warn people away from that, but now what I'm feeling is the thing that I've got to do is I've got to just show people other paths to possibly get to where these things are.
Well, don't you think by what you're doing that you are?
I'm trying, but you know, there's the other part of me where, like, you know, I want to warn the new people away from this thing. But on the side note, people that I know who are nice people, who are not in charge of things, are teaching a lot of these things.
Yeah.
So this is where they make money from.
Mm-hmm.
So am I taking money out of their fucking mouths? And, you know, that's how they pay their rent.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel that, bottom line, it's a fucking scam. You don't need to take these things to do that. And I'm talking about improv. Like, and one of the things that, you know, has always bothered me is I've done stand-up and I've done improv. And stand-up, if you want to be a stand-up, what you're told is go do some stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And you go do free shows and you pay... for it with your time and your stage time. And if you want to be an improviser, you're told you got to take all these fucking workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is because as a stand-up, you can't actually make money as a stand-up. But as an improviser, it's very difficult to make money as an improviser. So improv companies have to find another way, and that way is workshops.
Okay.
And so, ba-ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. But then what happens then is, you know, people come after me saying, oh, you're really bitter about how you were treated and this. And I'm fucking not at all. I don't give two shits about how I was treated. I just don't want to see people get hosed along the way.
Yeah.
And I don't really know what to do about that. So that's a thing in my...
Well, I mean...
Tell me what to do, Dave. I'll drink some water while you tell
you
me.
You can't...
Tell me.
You cannot... I mean, you're doing what you can. You can't stop people from doing what they want.
Right.
You know? Like, if people... You know, if you think that speeding in your car is bad because you could... you know, run over someone and hurt them or kill them, the most you can do is to tell people how dangerous it is to drive, you know, to speed through the streets and be careful of hitting pedestrians. You can't climb in the car with them and take over the steering wheel or take out their, whatever, the lead wires and walk away with their distributor cap so they can't start their car. You know,
okay.
you're limited to what you can do, right? Unless you're going to take away people's free will. Their ability to choose for themselves what they think is right or wrong. You can advise, which is what you're doing. You're putting it out there.
Well, you're saying free will. I don't think, though, people have free will if they don't have all...
Oh, you're a determinist. No,
yeah, that's right. I don't think people have free will if they don't have all the information. And someone who's selling you something will never tell you all the information because that will take away, you know... They'll never say... You know, if someone goes, I want to be, you know, a doctor. Oh, okay. You want to be a doctor? You got to take, you know, all these things, whatever it is, and it's going to cost you this much. They're not going to tell you the less expensive. The school will not tell you the less expensive school that they could go to because it's not in their best interest to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the situation with this is like people just believe that this is what you do because
It's still an emotional choice that they're making. You could present all the facts that you wanted to them and they would still make the choice that you don't like because they've already decided they're going
to
do it.
Yeah, it's not that I don't like it. If they want to do it, and they want to spend the money. I have no problem with people spending money for fun.
Yeah.
Like if they think all these workshops are a hoot, that's fantastic. But yeah. I think if people are thinking this is the only way to do it,
yeah.
And also once you're in it, it does, sorry to say the word cult again, but there is this thing like once you're in it, it's very tough to get out of it because you're like, well, do you want to take the next level workshop?
Yeah.
Or because if you don't take the next level workshop, you're now out of these levels mm-hmm. and the money you've spent already, you know, you've had fun, you've learned things, but you know, that's worthless now. Now you're done. Mm-hmm. You're just you've stopped, you know, you've dropped out of school, you know, 7 years out of your 8-year course, you know, now you're stopping. So yeah, it's tough. And I see people get suckered into this. And I think like the bottom line for me on this, the way I put it is like, when I was starting out, if workshops cost the same amount they do now as then, I would never have become an improviser. I could never have afforded it.
Yeah.
Whereas when you and I would go to workshops back in the day, you know, it sounds like candy bars were a nickel. No, they were actually $2. You and I went to a workshop and we're jamming with Ryan Stiles for $2.
Yeah.
And the reason that they were $2 was because it was really an ad for the shows. If you came to the workshops, you would probably pay to see the shows on the weekends.
Okay.
And, you know, you might take like some advanced workshops like later for a little bit more money, but they would have the drop-ins for 2 hours for $2. And it was basically, it was just like a paid advertisement, right? Mm-hmm. You were paying to be advertised to and, you know, you learn a little and you have some fun and, you know, do your thing. But yeah, if it was that much more. Ugh, there's like a company in town that, you know, that some people I know and really like are involved with. And to teach comedy, it costs $12,000, this course.
Wow.
I find that outrageous.
But is that any different than going to university and taking creative writing classes?
But for what? What's the thing though? Like what are you taking creative writing? Like what's the end goal of a creative writing class?
Well, you're going to come out of it hopefully writing a novel. I don't know.
All right. And do people make money writing novels?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, once again, it's a crapshoot.
Right. You know. Or possibly screenplays or possibly whatever.
But it's all a crapshoot. I mean, it depends on a lot of things, right? Luck or talent and
stuff
like that. But, you know,
compared to improv, the amount of people that work professionally as improvisers, you know, are so small compared to novelists. You know, just there's more successful infinitely more successful novelists than there are successful improvisers.
In Vancouver? Or
in the world.
In the world. Okay.
I would say people who are professional improv. And then, you know, when you get.
Doesn't every city have one or two companies that are.
One or two, but quite often in most major cities, like if you go to Seattle, no one pays.
Mm.
They don't pay their performers.
Okay.
Los Angeles, I don't know. Maybe if you go to the Groundlings, but that's more sketch. If you're just doing straight improv, you're not getting paid.
Wow.
You know, same with the Upright Citizens Brigade. They don't pay anybody. No one pays.
Hmm.
It's you know, the idea is it's a stepping stone to be seen by Saturday Night Live or somewhere else, and you go from there.
Yeah.
So that's one of my beefs with this is like the thing that you're teaching people to do, just money wise, doesn't make sense. Like
true. You don't know much about it. But I mean, if you want your child to be an athlete and play in sports, you're facing the same thing. Like you just can't have your kid join a league and play. You know, you're paying for the league, but you're also paying for your child to take, you know, weekend tune-up classes and how to be a good goalie or you know, shooting or speed skating and stuff like that.
True.
So, I mean, it's...
That's not a bad comparison.
It's not a thing that's alone. And the idea that your child will one day be an NHL athlete is an incredible gamble that you're taking by pouring so much money into, you know, putting your child through all these levels of... You know, and competing and trying to get them to some sort of, you know, place that accepts a very small amount.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's what, 30 hockey teams, let's say, that have maybe 30 people on the team?
Right.
You know, that's not very many people. When you think of all the athletes that are out there working so hard to get to that level.
I'm trying to think, like, my comparison then would be that if there was, that if there was hockey and then there was, let's say, lacrosse. So you got both of those.
Yeah.
And let's say improv is lacrosse. And people don't make money in lacrosse. Okay. And then there's hockey.
Yeah.
And people do make money in hockey if they're professional. Now, and so I'm going to make this comparison. So lacrosse is improv.
Okay.
Okay. Because they don't make really a lot of money. It's very rare that you'd make money. But in hockey, there is a chance. And the most successful stand-up comedians do make millions of dollars. So that's possible. So hockey.
But people who are improvisers can also make millions of dollars too that come out of it. moving on into other
things, but yeah. not as improvisers. So that's what we're okay. talking about. You could say like, the lacrosse player then goes on and starts selling cereal and makes money on the commercials. Okay, but okay. The lacrosse player is the improviser.
And by the way, there are professional lacrosse players.
Absolutely. Okay, but not making...
They're not making the same
They're not
money.
Making hockey bucks.
They're not making hockey bucks.
Okay, no. And then there's hockey over here. Now imagine then, if I'm making my comparison with the way things are with improv and stand-up, lacrosse, you pay a fortune...
Yeah.
To become a professional lacrosse player, you pay nothing to be a hockey player. That's the way it would. That's the way it would. Mm. It would come.
Yeah.
So as a stand-up, all you're paying is time. A hockey player would be you just spend your time on the ice, yeah. practice.
Sure.
Lacrosse, you're going to need this, that, and the other. You're going to need level mm-hmm. whatever, throwing the thing into the thing, and blah blah blah. And that's where I think it feels
ball
like,
into the net. Is that the word you're looking
sure.
for? And very, that's, I know it's very complicated.
And that's where I feel that it's bullshit. The thing that makes it seem bullshit mm-hmm. to me is because there's a parallel thing that's right next to it that doesn't abide by the same structure.
Yeah.
And it's kind of obvious the reason that it doesn't abide by the same structure is the one is actually successful and you can make money out of it, and the other sure. one you can't. So, but if you're having fun as a lacrosse player and yeah. you want to spend thousands of dollars to be a lacrosse player, that's fucking fine.
Yeah.
I just want the lacrosse players to go.
In both cases, though, your chances of success are very, you have a very yeah. small chance of becoming a superstar or even having a career.
And here's where, you know, this becomes like a braggy boob fucking thing. And I hate saying this, but I want to throw myself mm. out there and just go like, well, what makes me so goddamn special? I've been able to like make a living, you know, doing improv okay. and I've been able to make a living doing sketch and okay. I've been able to make a living doing these other things. And I have some awards in these different fucking things. What makes me so goddamn fucking special?
Yeah.
And I didn't spend a load of cash to get to where I am. So again, that's where I feel that it's I mean, I really do feel like the things that made me who I am were not a bunch of workshops, you know. It was actually doing things and, you know, doing shows and doing all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another reason that I feel that's kind of like, bleh. And it's weird because it feels like, one, it's a brag
yeah.
going, I've achieved success in this thing.
Okay.
But I want to like counter that by going, but I wasn't, I'm not fucking magic. Other people can do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people around me do stuff,
yeah.
you know, too. So I know it can be fucking done.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Me too. And I'm really jealous.
What are you jealous of?
Of their doing stuff.
But you do stuff.
Mm.
Okay. Here's the thing. You go to work. You do your work.
I do.
And then you come home. Often. And how many of the guys at your workplace mm. come home to fan mail?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Not very many.
Not very many. That's right. Here's the thing. Yeah, you're at a point in your life where, you know, you do this thing
mm-hmm.
and people enjoy it. And, you know, and they write you letters about it. And you touch their lives with what you do. And so you're a success. The end. Boom. And if you guys want to know how to become a podcasting success, I've got a $12,000 workshop for you called Speak Your Mind.
And one more thing. For someone who
people
said,
wear our shirts, man. We show up places and people are wearing our fucking shirts and we don't know them. And they come and they're wearing our shirts.
Yeah.
What? It's not bad.
No, it's good.
Okay.
But one thing I just wanted to say
okay.
was that for someone who boasted you could talk about David Brenner for 2 days straight,
yeah.
you didn't stay on that subject.
All right, here we go. David Brenner. But I think we did.
I think we minded. I think we minded for all
No, I think you, because I think you nailed it, which was he became a complainer.
Oh, okay.
And once you become a complainer, that's the end of
yeah,
it.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's a, you know, Paul Kastner. I think that's his name, Paul Kastner, the guy who did The Realist
okay.
magazine. And I remember reading, and that was an interesting magazine, The Realist. And I remember, because it was kind of a mix of satire, but also news.
Mm-hmm.
But news from a particular point of view that you couldn't get everywhere in America at that time. And he kind of wrote through the 60s into the early 70s, The Realist. And at some point, he decided, for whatever reason, I think he was kind of having a nervous breakdown. And the way he expressed this to himself was, you know what? I'm not going to laugh anymore. He just decided, I'm not going to laugh for a whole year.
Okay.
And he actually went kind of crazy
yeah.
from not being himself, like not laughing anymore, just becoming, you know, when he became obsessed with the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And he just kind of lost it, you know? Because once you lose your sense of humor as a humorist, you really don't have a lot going for you. I don't know why that would be. If you're like, you're not making people laugh anymore and you're Joker.
Yeah, you'd basically have to like just write things mathematically and just go, well, this kind of thing was funny before. And I guess, you know, this adheres to these laws.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where the twist would go.
Oh, man. I was reading... this is totally off the topic of this, and I'm sorry to veer off, but because it's very unusual on this show.
Yeah.
But I was reading this book by G.K. Chesterton about George Bernard Shaw. And he said something really interesting about music and poetry. And he said in there that mathematicians like music rather than poetry, because poetry takes words and makes them weird. So you could have, what did he say? Like you could have dark light, you know, the darkness of the light.
Okay.
In a poem. To someone who has a very literal, rational mind, that makes no sense to them. You know, they can't see the poetic element of it. They just see the wrong use of words.
Mm.
But music, they can understand that as an art, because it's, you know, it's not messing with their reality. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just presenting something that's appealing sounding and intricate, and that's appealing to them. But poetry, I thought that's really interesting, because I'm someone who, I don't always like poetry very much, but I love music. So I think it's kind of interesting.
But you don't like lyrics.
And I'm not really, as someone who doesn't really care that much about lyrics.
Right.
I don't mind lyrics, but it's just, usually I'm disappointed by them. You know, like when I started listening to Portuguese music, I was like, man, this is great music. I just love this. I wish I knew what they were saying. So I learned Portuguese so I could translate the lyrics. And so I translated the lyrics and I was just like, well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Because it's just meaningless. Because most lyrics, by their very nature, are kind of just gibberish. You know, just a lot of words put together in order to meet a meter, to fill the meter of the song, you know, the rhythm of the song.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of blah, 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 blah.
Quite a few
blah,
are,
blah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so many words you could read about, you know, buying a diamond ring for someone and My Love Ain't No Peasant.
The Beatles have done the diamond
ring thing a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because they're just filler words for them. They just meant something. They're like
Do
a filler
think they were
for
really them. Diamond thieves? Just to go back to that?
Sure.
And they were just like just hinting at...
Oh, wouldn't that really be awesome if they actually were? They first started the band. They first started the band as a way to hide their jewel thief activities. So
well,
every city they went to,
there
was like a massive diamond theft.
Except they were trying to do like a big, you know, when they were in the cavern. Was it the cavern? Was that
sure?
Yeah, it was an underground thing. So they were trying to tunnel their way.
Yeah.
Every night they would tunnel a little more into a jewelry store next door.
Okay.
And then when they finally did it, they were done.
Slightly before.
Yeah.
Brian Epstein discovered them, and then there was too much attention paid to them.
Yeah,
and they
like,
just
couldn't
do it. Oh, we're so close. But after that, like every city they went to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got a movie there.
Ah,
that's
I
a
think
great,
so.
That's a pretty good movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's called Digging the Beatles.
But I think that's an interesting, I just thought that was a really interesting theory or idea that he was talking about in the book. It really, I mean, Chesterton to me is a very interesting person. Sometimes he'll say things that make me shudder a little bit because he's, you know, I have the, what do you call it? The aristocracy of time or something like that? Because he even mentions that in there, the idea that he talks about a play where it makes a point in the play about the modernness of Ibsen.
Mm-hmm.
He says, as soon as you do that, you have trapped your play in time. You've taken away the timeless element of it because you've, by making it something contemporary, he says there's no quicker way to make something out of date than to make it contemporary.
Interesting.
Because as soon as you do that, you lock it into a time period. So when, even like 5 years later, you're reading about this Ibsen, you know who Ibsen is, but he's no longer shocking, or the idea of it being shocking is no longer, you know, the current fashion. So it's just kind of, it was interesting, you know, like, it's a good book. I'm really, I like Chesterton a lot though. So
cool.
He always turns things on its head. The thing you think he's going to say, he'll go, oh no, it's like this. And you go, oh.
Wakes your brain up.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back a little bit to David Brenner. We're just going to keep going back to David Brenner throughout the whole thing. I think there's going to one of your points of you hear someone tell a story and you just kind of shut off because you're going like, it's this complaint again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just shut down. I was just thinking about like Lenny Bruce and how, you know, you watch, you know, the live footage of him with the court records and reading them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, click, you're just done,
right? Yeah.
You listen for a while. You're like, he's going to go somewhere with this. There's going to be a twist.
Yeah.
Here it comes. It's not. He's just complaining and we're done. And I've listened to a bit of like Mort Saul as well. Like, and you're just like, it's now not comedy as much as complaining.
He's another guy who became obsessed with the Kennedy assassination.
That's right, yeah.
And it seemed like that was some sort of like current at the time as a way to replace whatever you were losing. So say Paul Krasner, you know, the 60s are moving on. You know, people are, you know, it's the me generation or whatever. People are too busy snorting cocaine to care about, you know, a satirical news weekly or Mort Saul, you know, you've become out of fashion, you
right.
know, your sweater and your button down shirt are just no one cares about. And so you replace your failure with this very important subject, which is who killed Robert Kennedy? Who really killed him?
Yeah.
This is really important that we got to know. Who was on the grassy knoll? Like, what was going on there? Have you guys seen this? The Bruder film? This is amazing. Look, listen, guys, I'm going to read from this Warren Commission for you because this is amazing. Here, page 148. I'll just read this part to you. It's only 40 pages. I'm just going to read it. Okay, ready? Blah, blah, you know, like.
It is those things like, and now I'm just thinking of other comedians and going like, at what point does a comedian's career kind of like stop?
Yeah.
And, you know, I look at like someone like an Andrew Dice Clay, and an Andrew Dice Clay, whenever he goes on a talk show, just complains about being treated badly. Like he complains about, you're not respecting me and I did this, and he just gets mad and it just loops and it's just like, eh. And either he storms off, which often happens, or just shut down. And then I think of someone like a Janine Garofalo, who, you know, I like Janine Garofalo, but I went to a couple of her live shows and she really had nothing. Like she
was but just, there's another person who became obsessed with politics.
Right. And she just, it would just, like I saw her here in Vancouver.
The politics replaced her humor.
Yeah. And she came out and was talking about, have you seen this thing that was in the paper today in the Globe and Mail about how Prime Minister Harper is going to build a wall, you know, across Canada, you know, he's going to do this. And it was like, no, he's not. Clearly he's not. We've got checks and balances that will stop that.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's, but she's like, why aren't you outraged by this? It's like, well, one thing, we're just hearing about it. And two, it's not real.
Yeah.
And third, you're not really, you don't have a really funny take on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you got to do that. You can't just complain.
Yeah.
So it's like one of two things. One, you can't just whine about your life.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that.
No.
And then two, you can't just complain. You got to find a fucking angle on it. And I can see how these, like her and like a Mort Saul are now going, well, you loved it when I talked about the minutia and how there's not enough crackers for the cheese in the snackables thing. But now I'm trying to fucking talk about fracking.
Yeah.
And you fuckers don't care.
Yeah.
And so now they're mad at that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And it's like, ugh. And then that's the end of that.
It's a weird thing, but and it's a chicken and egg thing, right? Like what came first? Did they lose their sense of humor and kind of grasp politics or whatever, the, you know, this sort of fad that they grab onto?
Right.
And that's sort of what carries them on? Or did becoming obsessed with politics or the Kennedy assassination or whatever, you know, and I kind of wonder if just one, this is weird. Like, I'm not sure which came first.
Here's something I think did happen.
Or was their career going downhill and they just needed this boost?
No, I think Garofalo was doing okay. But here's where, I watched a documentary about Air America. Do you remember Air America? It was a left-wing, they were trying to do like the equivalent of like Fox News, but like on radio, but left.
I thought it was a Mel Gibson film.
Sure. But it was also a.
Or am I getting mixed up with Air Bud?
Yes, you are.
The marijuana.
Air Bud was
the marijuana film.
A pro-marijuana film. Yeah, absolutely right. But they, Al Franken was one of the guys behind it. Mark Maron
once
was
again,
on it.
I think I lost sense of humor.
Mark Maron, actually, his early WTFs were recorded at the Air America kind of studios.
Okay.
He would sneak in and record them illegally.
Oh.
And Janine Garofalo. And so they had a documentary about it, and I forget what it was called, but they showed the starting it and doing the things, and everyone was moved. And then they had the election, and it was George Bush, and it was the second election of George Bush. It wasn't Al Gore. Who was he up against the second time? Do you remember? It was the.
So it wasn't Al Gore.
I want to say, the guy who was swift boated. Kerry.
Oh, Kerry, yeah, John Kerry.
John Kerry.
Yeah, there you
okay.
go. Sorry.
So it was, you know, and they were like, you got to go for Kerry. You got to go for Kerry. You can't do Bush. You can't do Bush. All right. And then they have the election results, and you see the reaction as they find out Bush won.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at, like, Jean Garofalo in that.
It was like looking at a human Facebook post.
and just seeing her, and her spirit was broken. Like, she'd done all the right things.
Yeah.
They'd done it all. They'd presented all this information.
Yeah.
Clearly, this is the wrong guy. And America went, nah, we're good with him. And it was just ka-snap. And I think that was where her spirit got broken. And just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And I don't think she's really come back.
But was she really funny during like this campaign?
No, I think she was too sincere.
Okay.
I think she was too sincere on the air. And I think Maron was too sincere because they all had agendas that they needed to put forward. And when you put agenda before comedy and you're a comedian, you're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I think like something like, you know, Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert or John Oliver now or Samantha Bee, they know.
Yeah,
I gotta wrap this in a big fucking joke. Yeah. I gotta wrap this in a concept. You can't just get mad.
It's the classic expression, age before nida.
Well, the reason that you have age before beauty is because it's alphabetical.
Ah, finally. Someone solved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's curious. And I mean, we could probably, yeah, you could probably go through a lot of comedians, and maybe not ones who went political, but just kind of went cuckoo. You know, they just go off in their own kind of world, and who knows why. Like,
well, also, you run out of material. You know, I mean, it's amazing that you can come up with 45 to an hour of really good material that will hold an audience's attention. And mm-hmm. when you first see a stand-up, they've probably had 10 to 15 years to build that act up by the time you see them on a Tonight Show
or
Letterman. But then now you've got to make more material.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think that should be a problem for someone who's funny.
To come up with 45 minutes of material?
I think
it's pretty hard.
I mean, it's hard work. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I don't think it's impossible for them.
Well, people do it.
I think it's... Because there are people there that do it for a long time.
Well, and it also helps if, say, you've got a voice. Like, if you almost develop a character, like you're Jim Gaffigan.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like, okay, now you can actually do stuff on food, or you can do stuff on being lazy, or you can do stuff on being a parent. And these are all in the wheelhouse of a Jim Gaffigan show. And people will cut you slack in going like, oh, he's doing a food. Oh, it's another food bit. All right, I'm comfortable with that. Yeah. I'm in. I'll give him a lot of leeway leading into this because I think it's going to be good. But if he starts doing material that's political, or if he starts doing about, like, let me tell you about the best type of automobiles and doing jokes about cars, people are like, fucking what?
It's just I think he could still make that funny.
He could.
But if his bit becomes a bitter diatribe against cars because they're polluting the world and there's no humor in it.
Yeah. Well, it's not even
bitter. No one's
gonna. I do just legitimately think it's very, very difficult to come up with an hour of material to the point where when people like Carlin do all new material on specials, or like Louis C.K. did his thing, other comedians were just like, what the fuck? What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's don't throw away your act. What do you – I mean, Leno's still doing jokes from like the beginning of his act, you know, because that's – You know, as he said, that's what feeds you. That's what takes care of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do. Also, the style of humor that you are, you know, goes away too. So, you know, the Mort Saul style, the Janine Garofalo style, that's very locked into a certain time.
Okay.
And I think, like, you know, maybe that was the thing with Brenner, though. When I hear that, I kind of go, well, why didn't Seinfeld run into that? And maybe it's because his sitcom buoyed him up and, you know, made him so popular with that maybe people had just gotten sick of that style, you know, if he hadn't had that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true. I don't think he's doing anything new. And I don't think many people care about him other than people going for a nostalgia trip down memory lane, going to his show.
Yeah, it's not the sharpest jokes anymore by any means. I mean, they're competent.
Of course.
They're fine.
He's a good comedian.
Yeah. And I think, you know, him doing stuff like the, you know, comedians in cars getting coffee, that's good because it puts him in a context and we see that, oh, he's peers with these people and, you know, all right. Yeah. This is making him a bit more human and it just works.
He's talking about the most important thing on earth, stand-up comedy.
Because that's all he cares about.
That's all he cares about.
And
cars.
And, yeah, that's right. And he acknowledges in the thing that he's a weirdo. It's like, I like this stuff and I like people that are strange and I don't fit in anywhere else. And he's just being open and acknowledging that. And I think that's an important thing to do, you know, as a comedian is be straight with your audience and people will go, yeah, okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what he's like, then that's what he's like. That's fine.
Hmm. Well,
and that's why I've got a workshop on how to become a comedian.
No. $12,000.
$12,000.
$12,000
buckery booze.
I think we've run out of show.
All right.
David Brenner, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please go.
David Brenner.
Do you ever notice?
David Brenner.
can you do a David Brenner?
Sure, I can do a bit of David Brenner. Give me a topic and I'll do a David Brenner type topic.
Okay, bullies.
Oh, bullies. Oh, that was a kid. They used to bully me. They'd sit me down and read me all a Catcher in the Rye. I get it.
Is that a bully?
Literary bullies. They were the toughest bullies there were.
Do you think
they were rich bullies? They show me their parents' bank accounts. Just hurt me to see that. Snap their spats in my face and get their butlers to beat me up.
Do you think a comic
David Brenner?
Do you think a comic? Do you think a comic like Andy?
That's a terrible David Brenner. I'm sorry, everybody.
It was awful. That's why I was trying to save you by changing the topic.
Impressions are so high.
I sound like Marley's ghost.
Sure.
Scrooge. Do you think a comedian like Andy Kaufman was, I don't want to say he was lucky that he died, but in terms of his career. If he did die. Do you think that he was lucky in the sense that, it sounds so terrible to say that, but do you think if he hadn't died when he did, do you think he would have faded? That his style of comedy, when you watch Man on the Moon, mm-hmm. you feel like he's kind of running out of places to go.
Right.
In what he's doing.
Right.
You know, how he's exploring comedy. You feel like as the movie nears the end, even before he knows he's dying, that you kind of feel like, wow, he's gone interesting places, but where to next?
And yet, you know, comedy kind of changed about that time, though, too, in a very, okay. you know, that allowed you to be a bit more personal. I look at someone like, who did live, like a Bobcat Goldthwait, okay? Now, Bobcat Goldthwait started off at the same time as Tom Kenny, okay. and that's where their names came from. They were always together, so they went, you're Tomcat, you're Bobcat. And so, and then they kind of split and did their own things.
Yeah.
And Tom Kenny's gone on to be, you know, SpongeBob on Mr. Square Show Pants. And SpongeBob SquarePants and all that. And, mm-hmm. and you know, but you had a point where I think Bobcat Goldthwait was trying to be so rebellious. Like he did the Police Academy movies and that's how, you know, you make your money.
Yeah.
But then he would go on The Tonight Show and he set the couch on fire. And he was banned from The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
Like, he was that kind of rebel of just like, I got to fuck shit up.
Yeah.
I got to fuck shit up. Because otherwise, I'm mainstream.
Yeah.
And then, but then as things progressed, he just started doing these kind of warped movies.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of sensible. You know, he's just kind of sensible. But he does these really twisted movies.
Yes.
But, you know, him himself, so he's evolved into this. He's changed into this. And occasionally, he'll still do stand-up. And mm-hmm. sometimes, he'll do the crazy voice. But... That's who he is now. And I think Kaufman.
He also came from the crazy voice era.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, when you're partnered with Tom Kenny, you better do a crazy voice or you're not going to be able to be heard.
Yeah.
But I would say Kaufman probably, and who the heck knows, but I would say Kaufman probably would have evolved as well.
Yeah.
And like moved into some other, you know.
I think you're right. I think you're probably right.
Yeah. He was also a good actor, you know? He was mm-hmm. like legitimately a good actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he would have been fine. I mean, and. You look at that kind of, you know, thing with, what was his character?
Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton. Yeah. Okay. Who is, I'm going to annoy the audience enough that they're going to tell me to fuck off.
Not just the audience, everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah.
But then you look at now, you've got Neil Hamburger, who does
okay,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
Just tries to piss off. I mean, there's the roots of Neil Hamburger are completely in Andy Kaufman.
Yeah.
And then you look at something like Tom Green, who isn't that popular anymore, but had a good 10-year run where he was yeah. very fucking popular.
He shouldn't have got so obsessed with the Kennedy assassination.
That's right. But very, very popular, annoying people on mm-hmm. TV, holding up microphones with little bits of shit on them up to their faces and interviewing them. And it's gross. Absolutely, it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
But that type of humor was very popular on MTV and other places for quite a while, to the point where he got like movie deals and shit and married Drew Barrymore, for fuck's sake. So, you know, that was there. I think like Kaufman.
We're testicular cancer brothers, so I can't say very much bad about him.
About him, right.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like
because it's so much trouble at the clubhouse.
That's right. And every time you're every new year you watch the ball drop and just go, ah, yeah, we can relate to this, right, guys? Yeah, so I think like, yeah, Kaufman could have evolved, could have like jumped on that.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
that style of humor still was popular. I look at someone like a Don Rickles and just go, holy shit, that's still going.
Yeah.
Like legit.
But it. Oh,
like, I know it's nostalgia.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But no. Nostalgia buys you 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That guy does a solid hour. Uh-huh. You've still got to be funny and sharp and on it. You can't nostalgia your way unless you're a musician playing the hits.
Yeah.
And he doesn't play the fucking hits.
No, you're right.
You know, he works the room.
Yes.
What he does, it's like him and Joan Rivers were two of the, you know, the old school folks that still fucking had it. And you might not like their style.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, they were good at what they did.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Actually, I quite like Joan Rivers. So, but I watched, there's a documentary about Don Rickles. I don't know if you've seen it.
Probably.
It's on Netflix.
Okay, then I have
seen it. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Okay.
But,
of course I've heard of it. Yeah. Yeah. Hockey puck.
That's a weird insult. I guess it was more acceptable than you, piece of fuck.
Yeah. I don't know what it's supposed to replace.
Whether it was replacing. I think the puck and fuck were kind of closely related.
I guess
related.
So. It sounds dirty, but it's because, nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hockey puck.
And it has snippets of his act in Las Vegas in it. And so you can see what he does, but because it's kind of broken up, you don't get a sense of the rhythm of the act, like how it works, you know. Because I assume by the fact that he's still performing in Las Vegas that the act works.
Yeah.
But when you break up a comedy act into segments that you are interspersed with other things, you don't really get the sense of how it builds to
right.
to laugh. So when you're watching, you're more kind of cringing. because he's like, you know, racially insulting people.
Yeah.
And you're like,
but you don't see the rhythm. You don't see the
build. That's right. You don't see the build.
You don't see he's earning every one of those.
And that's right. It's not easy earning it, and he's, and that the audience is giving it. You know, they want it, and he's giving it to them.
That's
so
right.
It's the shared experience.
And it's, you know? And it's a bit of, you know, I mean, you got Russell Peters now, right? Mm-hmm. And one of my least favorite comedians. But my family loves him.
Yes.
My family loves him, and my family is very diverse. And so, you know, my sister goes with her husband to the show,
yeah.
You know, and he is Asian. And, you know, when he's doing all his bits, my sister's pointing at him.
Yeah.
You know, going, hey, yeah. Make fun of him.
Yeah.
And then Russell Peters does, and like, ah, he did. It's like, but it's the lowest fucking
yeah.
This, all the stereotypes.
Sure.
But it's like, yeah, he's talking about us. It's nice. It's nice to be talked about.
Yeah.
And you know it's not done with malice, and he's doing it with everyone in the room,
yeah.
And so it's fine.
Sure.
And that makes sure. It okay. If he at one point stopped at one table and just went, no, we can't do that, and then went to the next one, then you'd be in trouble, I guess.
I think you're right. If he pulled back, and same with Don Rickles, if they pulled back, because some of the things he says in it, like you're just like, what? You look around the room, there's yeah. No one watching with you, but you're looking around like, did he just
he did.
Insult him? What? Okay.
Yeah.
Like that Japanese guy really got his.
But it's like being at a friar's roast, you know, and
yeah.
That's where, you know, all the almost vile stuff comes in.
But I guess you're signing up for Don Rickles, so you know what you're in for.
That's
so,
right. That's yeah. The same thing. It's like,
yeah.
Because everyone does it and mm-hmm. Then everyone has it done to them, then it's okay.
Yeah.
Everyone's on board, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, it, Jesus, then putting it this way. Look, we all showed up at the S&M party. You know, if one guy just showed up and started smacking people, then he's a jerk.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
So we all came on board sure. For this. You don't show up at the Don Rickles and sit in the front row
and get mad.
You get mad if you don't.
Yeah.
You know, get in the splash zone.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. There's one Chinese guy that doesn't get anything thrown at him. He's like, what? What did I do? Like,
absolutely. That's the way it would be. Yeah.
Yeah.
And once Don Rickles is gone, probably that. I mean, you got your Lisa Lampanelli. She does the same thing.
Okay.
I don't much care for her.
I don't know her very well.
Yeah. Well, it's the same deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's insult comedy. You know, go around the room and it's whatever you are. It's whatever you're made fun of. And it's, you know, some people like it. And there you go. I got to admire, though, like a Don Rickles and a Joan Rivers as people who have been doing it for so long. And, you know, you don't see Joey Bishop. You know, through the 80s and 90s, you know, running rooms, you know, and people lining up to see him.
No.
You know, other contemporaries. You
sure,
know.
Sure. Yeah. From that time period, let's see, Don Rickles, I guess Bob Newhart would be the only contemporary of his that would still pack a place. I don't even know if he performs anymore.
Yeah,
actually.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. But I think Don Rickles would pack a place more than Bob
Newhart.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart, you know, Cosby's kind of out of the mix a little bit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
for good.
Probably for good. But Bob Newhart will play, say, a county fair or something and will pack a fairly good-sized room.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not making that Rickles...
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Vegas thing. Because Rickles is an experience. Rickles
yeah,
is
you're
a
right.
It's like a roller coaster yeah,
was,
ride. Yeah,
I was going to say that too.
Hey, jinx!
Oh man!
Well, someone owes me a Coke.
As my daughter likes to say, two minds think alike.
Nice.
There you go.
All right. So this brings us to the end of episode 230 of our insult based podcast, Sneaky Dragon.
You hockey pucks.
Thanks for listening, stupids. We really appreciate it. And if you want to disagree with us on things or agree with us or add your own thing, again, we'd love to hear tales of you getting fired, that kind of thing, or maybe quitting hard. Please go to sneakydragon.com and leave us a little message on our message boards there. That is underneath the episodes. You can also go to Facebook. You know how Facebook works.
Sure.
You want to go to Twitter? We may possibly be on there, sneaky_dragon. We got a Tumblr page, sneakydragon.
If you don't know how Tumblr. Facebook works, ask your mom. Am I right? I'm right. High five. Come all on. Right. High five.
Clap. Right. And what am I missing out of all? Oh, email. If you want to email us,
yes.
That is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Whatever way you want to say, hey, we love to hear from you. And please do come and see us on May 21st if you're in the Vancouver area. Did I mention it's in Vancouver? I don't think I did.
Did we mention that it isn't the vernal equinox?
Oh, I'm so sorry about that mix-up. But it'll be at the Roundhouse here, so you can go look at a train. There'll be a train there.
Did you say it's free?
It is free.
It's free.
And there's usually some really nice hot dog carts around there, too. So go and get yourself a Jappa Dog. Oh, would Don Rickles, would he have fun with Jappa Dog? Wouldn't he?
He sure would.
Oh, he'd have a good time, wouldn't he? Golly gee willikers. Thank you.
I know we're wrapping it up. Can I just make a slight detour away from a wrap-up? Sorry. I was just thinking.
Should old acquaintance stop the music? I've got something to say.
Stop the ball from dropping. This is what I do at the clubhouse with Tom Green and everyone. Stop the ball from dropping.
Okay, go ahead.
Have you seen a show? It's called Another Period.
Yes.
It's a weird show.
Yep. It's Ricky Lindholm from Garfunkel and Oates.
Yep.
I forget the name of the other woman who is head, and then it's all your regular stand-ups from
a bunch of people. That you, everyone, it's just a weird show because
David Wayne is there.
It's very crude.
Yeah.
Ian Michael Black, right? Is that his name?
Ian Michael Black is also there. A couple of people from the state. Yep. Yeah.
It's a very weird show. It's very crude.
Yep.
It's very in your face.
Yep.
It's kind of. It's really, it's kind of odd.
It's a dirty title.
It's a gross out show. It's kind of the idea of it. Like, to be as over the top and gross as possible.
Sure. Christina Hendricks from Mad Men is in it.
Christina Hendricks is in it. Paget Brewster from, she left Criminal Minds to come on Another Period. She's like, they're like, hey, leave the successful television show.
Right.
I know that you're raking in the cash from that. Leave that show. Come on our show where you're making nothing. Cause that's probably a show that's actually on TV that you don't get paid to do. Because judging from everything else on it, not much money goes into that show.
Are you talking Another Period?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Would you disagree?
No. I want to just hear your point on Another Period. It feels like you're going somewhere with it.
I was just thinking about, I don't know where I was going with it.
It was worth stopping the end of the show. Hey, have you seen this show? Yeah, I got no opinion on it.
I do have an opinion, but okay.
Go ahead.
It's just weird because...
I've got an opinion on it, so I'll say my opinion after you're done with your opinion.
Okay, well, you go first then.
Here's my opinion on Another Period.
Okay.
It's very talented people.
Mm-hmm.
The pitch is fantastic.
Yeah.
The name is absolutely right.
Okay.
It's great having the two female leads.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, that all seems like a great idea. I don't fucking like it. But it's like all good people who I look forward to seeing in other projects.
Sure.
It doesn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
On paper, though, green light that in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
This is a winner, man.
Yeah.
All aboard. Here we go. I don't care for it.
It's just, okay, well, that's kind of...
It's just too mean, and you don't care about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't care about anybody, then it's got to be hilarious. Like, it's got to be, because you don't care about anybody, it's got to be gut-busting, full-on. If you're going to do mean humor, you got to be so funny, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, okay?
It's funny,
but it's not funny, ridiculous, great.
Okay, maybe that's where I was going was. It's interesting to me because we think that our humor is so... it's so sophisticated now. We don't go for this gross-out comedy. We're no Andrew Dice Clay. We're no people from the past with their silly jokes and stuff. But you watch that show, it's like the lowest of the low. It's like the lowest common denominator jokes you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, the mom's a morphine addict and she shoots blue darts at eagles. Like, okay, that's something.
Because, you're stuff. And I get that the pitch on this is... Because Downton Abbey is so, everyone's repressed, everyone's so proper.
Yeah.
What if these people who were proper were doing these outrageous things?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. There's some funny moments.
There's some funny jokes.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of great 1 and 2 minute clips
mm-hmm.
on YouTube from it.
Sure.
It's fantastic. I don't want to watch a whole half hour of it. I'm good.
I watched two hours of it the other night, so.
Yeah. It's fine. It's all good people, and they all do... Here's the thing. Everyone in that show, I could tell you a better show that they've done. Maybe that's the problem with it.
Mm.
None of them, this is the best show they've ever done.
Yeah. But
that's a problem.
Does every show have to be the best show someone's done?
Every show should have at least someone in it that's just the best show they've ever done,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's not a great show.
There you go. That's probably right. That's probably right. What if... okay. What if someone's the best on two shows?
Like?
Soap. And the guy Robert Guillaume did after that. It's called Benson.
Benson, yeah.
Yeah, there. He's the best on those two shows.
No, he isn't. Do you think Benson is the funniest guy on Benson?
I'm just joking. Okay. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just joking. I've never seen Benson, to be honest with you.
Really? All right. Really. Fair enough.
I did watch Soap.
Yeah, soap was good.
I can see the point of Benson.
Yeah, the point of Benson on soap was just going, you people are crazy. Mm-hmm. This is stupid. Let me comment on how dumb this show is.
Yeah, yeah.
This is dumb. You're dumb. You're all dummies. I hate you all. I like this one character. And that makes me a nice guy that I like this one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica.
And then they went to, then became Benson. And then his personality completely changed. And that was the end of that.
Never watched it. Anyway, I don't know why I brought up another period. I obviously had nothing to say about it.
I know, it was interesting,
It was in my mind, and I just wanted to talk about it.
You know what it was like? It was like we all went to the movies, and the movie was over, and everyone went, oh, that was all right. And then the credits roll, and then it's like, oh, it's a bonus scene. Everyone sit back down. Bonus scene. And then it's like Captain America shows up with Iron Man, and the two of them are looking at each other, and then they got nothing to say to each other.
That's how the show usually works, so it's fine.
And then they go, patty cake, bakers.
And then punch out the jailer.
That's right. Katang! Exactly.
All right, everyone. I apologize for that detour into nothingness. I'm sorry.
Sure.
Maybe I was celebrating Seinfeld.
Oh, a show about nothing?
I don't know. I was desperately hoping for something there.
Okay.
I got nothing.
Let's hear your Seinfeld.
You ever? No, I don't even know what
he says. Good. No, I like it. Go ahead. I'll do David Brenner. You do Seinfeld. It's like Gilbert Gottfried says they're very similar.
What is it about airplane food?
I'm the ghost of Jacob Marley.
What is it about gruel that makes you see ghosts?
Repent! It's a piece of beef, maybe. lean beef. Thanks for listening to Sneaky Dragon. We'll be better next week. Am I alive? I can't remember if David Brenner is alive. I don't think David Brenner is alive. Now I'm feeling bad.